Welcome back to the Crooked Spine Show. It's now November 2020, middle of November. Elections are over. How are you dealing with the pandemic so far, and also your kids and your family and your friends? Narima Vercarduso Murphy, she is a licensed therapist in Upland. She's been here for a long time now and even runs her own office and business. She goes to interview with me today. This interview discusses how do we get through this now, how do we form healthy habits, how do we get things moving so our overall body and mind stays healthy for the long term. It might be another month, 2 months, or 6 months. Can we get and stay healthy and stay this way? As I said earlier, we talk about different habits we're going to form, how to set boundaries with friends and families that may not be in the same attitude as you. Also, too, how do we deal with social media overload? Narima talks about how to deal with that specifically with different apps. Also, too, how do parents deal with the stress of distance learning for the kids, how to help parents and kids get through that. And other topics too include how to lower stress for our kids and our families, even ourselves, long-term and short-term by forming different habits to make our bodies stay healthy, right? Hope you enjoyed the talk. Again, this talk has the show notes, has the overall highlights. If you want to jump to those directly, if not enjoy the show, wrap it up afterwards.
Hello, guys. This is Dr. Tony. I'm the one of the partners of UCAP Red Clinic in Upland. This is my friend, I think, three-peat interviewee, Narina. She is a local therapist, and she runs a practice down here locally in Upland, too. And she has a team of therapists, social workers, interns that helps the community with their mental health. Children, adults, marriages, anything you need. All right? So she's done a great job building her practice. I want to pick her brain today on what's going on now. This is July 2020. We're in the middle of COVID-19. I'm trying to figure out how to keep our minds, our brains, our mental health healthy with social media, with our kids, with our families, with our coworkers, even going to work too and going to possibly school next year. Maybe not. Maybe we have to fight. As things bounce back and forth, it seems like hourly sometimes. So, Narima, take it over and kind of do an introduction like yourself, too. A little bit more than I did, obviously.
You did a great job. Thank you so much for that introduction. As Dr. Tony just mentioned, I am a mental health therapist. I'm a licensed clinical social worker in the state of California. I have a group practice that is located in Upland, and we do have a secondary location in Hesperia. We total 18 therapists now, all working there and who are very devoted to assisting our communities with their mental health.
Good, good, good. And again, a lot of it is your experience with children, with adults, everything. And with current times, we talked about before, too, even last time, too, with children going back to school, it was about maybe years ago, is what do we do? And when I go on Facebook, for example, social media, turn the TV on, I'm hearing left side, right side, extremists for one, too. As healthcare practitioners, maintain, if possible, a steady line to not let this be, if you want to call it, a subjective way to look at the world right now. But how do we start the extra conversation?
Right. Yes, it is. It's so convoluted at the moment. And, you know, one of the things that myself and my colleagues have discussed, not only those that work within my practice, but we network with a lot of other therapists in the area. And the thing that we're hearing the most about is how we are defining this as a collective trauma, a simultaneous trauma. So yes. As mental health therapists, we are in it, literally in it with our clients, right? Like oftentimes when clients come to see us pre-COVID, they may be experiencing a life event that as a person we have experienced too, but usually that event has happened in our past. We've worked through it. We're on the other side. We're able now to have a more objective perspective on it. But with COVID-19 and the quarantine and children going back to school, you know, many of us are our parents, you know, having mental health. The other thing, you know, that there's nothing to say that your therapist may not have a particular mental health issue too. I deal with anxiety. So definitely has been something that we are simultaneously experiencing with our clients. And so the tips and all of the ideas that have come out or that we're brainstorming, I think, are important for both people on both sides of the couch right now.
Well, I think, like myself, too, mm-hmm. We have kids at home. We have kids that are school. We have kids that are, my sons, our kids are working right now. How do we make sure not only are they safe, but also are they doing enough to stay physically and mentally healthy? So they're themselves as our own kids are, is how do we one thing help our clients, patients, but also help ourselves understand, hey, if it's good for them, it's good for me too. How do I make sure we're all working together to a better state of health? And right now we're learning as we go too, correct?
Correct. Right. And like you said, it's changing every day and we are learning and we're learning new things that are coming up for people. So I think this is the most important time, if there ever was any, to practice what you preach. So all of these coping skills that we've always taught can really translate over to this time for both sides, right? So all of us as practitioners and also our clientele and just people in our communities. So one of the biggest thing right now, I think, that is most important is really taking an inventory of how much we are consuming of media, and that's a lot of different things. That can be television, news sources, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, even TikTok. There's even things on there that have gotten politicized to a certain degree. So we're inundated with a lot of information. And I'm not sure that our brains were actually made to consume this much information. And particularly if that information can feel conflicting too, right? So you might be getting some info here and that, oh, that sounds good. And then you start to listen to something else and you're like, wait a minute, that's different than what I just heard. So people are feeling a little confused.
And a lot of it is where it's happened so fast.
It's so fast.
Changes, it almost makes you, the emotional response, you get fatigued from that. Is that correct?
Yes, definitely. Definitely emotionally fatigued, mentally fatigued. So anytime if you're dealing with any type of mental health issue, the thing that we want to try to keep as low as possible is stress, right? And so consuming so much media is stressful. It just is, because you're consuming it and then you're also living it, right? So then we have issues with, jobs and what is and isn't being done there. Are people losing jobs? And then the schooling issue. Are we not going back to school? How are people going to work when they have kids home? There's so much that people are inundated with right now. People are just also experiencing fear, for whatever reason. If they happen to be of a particular risk group, that could feel really scary just going to the store right now. So
what's the danger? It's not just anxiety. It's a danger where I can't have a problem if I go to a store. I'm in this environment. If I go somewhere where there's a lot of people, if a big gathering of people, they call it. At that point, I can get something that I don't want to get. And again, two things about that is the virus bad for me? Can I get really sick, die, or something where it's not affecting at all? So how do we, I guess, analyze and critique it so we don't get to, we keep that stress level down without having the most response to it, but still getting the information?
Right. So I going back to scheduling or limiting how much you are consuming right now. And just as being someone who's in academia, I would suggest looking at reputable sources, that we, the internet is a beautiful thing. We can do this, right, without being in the same place. However, it is also a proponent of misinformation. And so just being careful about what you are consuming, that we are looking at reputable sources when you decide that, okay, I feel like I want to get some information right now. I'm going to spend 30 minutes, either watching some news or looking at something or reading an article, right? But that you are doing it mindfully, that you're not just kind of willy-nilly have this on in the background, because also while you're doing, the dishes or something, because that you're still consuming it. It's still getting in there. You might not be picking up every single thing because you're not completely focused on it, but it's information. And then before you know it, you're done and you're like, why am I feeling a little irritable right now? Well, you just were taking in a lot of negative information. And so people just need to be mindful of what they're doing.
What I tell people, because I know some EDC, some other stuff locally too, is you want to look at the boring research, not the ones that are fancy or on TV, on YouTube, Instagram. Right. It's the boring stuff where you have to read, watch someone tell you a boring stuff. Because when they're fancy, what happens? Normally, they're not energetic. They're not going to be entertaining. Right. Boring material to where and get the facts from this and intelligently absorb it without having emotional response to it.
Right.
Because that emotional response seems like we talked about before too. You can only handle so much where it becomes more of a stress state. Your body responds to that over time, hour after hour, day after day. Then your body gets fatigued where you get.
Right, right. Because what you're hearing when you hear the information, like you're saying, you're having an emotional response. So what's your brain doing, right? It's like, oh, I'm supposed to be anxious, scared. So then you have an adrenaline dump, you know, and then it's like, oh no, you hear about maybe the deaths or the illness. And then it's like, then you have a serotonin drop. And then, you know, so your brain is doing this entire time. That is really, really taxing on a person, for sure.
Right. For so long. And then the effect of that, I think, is when you get that high and low hormonal levels and relaxed state, then all of a sudden your body doesn't know what to do. Then you take it out to your kids, family, your spouse, your coworkers, people around you, or you go on Facebook or Instagram, start putting it out there too. You start feeding that fire for them. People get to have a problem to where once they get to that state, they can't get out of that state.
Yes. Yeah, that can be hard because you can feel stuck. So the brain will get stuck in that the brainstem, the fight, flight, freeze. And so, you know, you can feel hyper aroused and not know what to do. You feel a bit frozen in that state. So the best thing to do in those situations, I would recommend, would be deep breathing. If you happen to have an iPhone watch, or excuse me, an iPhone watch, I sound like.
I get it.
I mean, an Apple Watch. It actually has a breathing app on there, and I find that to be useful. Of course, that's a gadget. That's an expensive gadget. You don't need an expensive gadget to do it. You can literally use, you know, a clock hand on a clock or whatever. You can use your phone timer. But 60 minutes of deep breathing, you know, you breathe in, you know, for 4 or 5, count that in, exhale. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and do that for an entire minute. The reason I get the Apple Watch, I didn't realize it had this app on it. I kept getting this like notification that kept telling me to breathe, and I would just miss it, right? I just would dismiss it. I'm like, what? I don't know why this keeps telling me this, until I realized, you know, it takes my heart rate, so it probably is realizing that I need to breathe.
You're going to pass out, Narina. Breathe now.
So once I finally discovered that, you know, Apple was actually trying to save my life, I started using it.
And going to that too, going to breathing, going to finding a way to de-stress your body, is it better to do it as a routine every day, or is it better to wait till you're under stress to do it?
You should definitely do it as a routine every day. And you can also use it in the moment. So deep breathing is a great exercise because you're training your brain. You're training your brain to be able to relax. You are literally controlling your heart rate. You know, so the thing about the watch is that it'll take me from, you know, a 90 to a 62 in 1 minute, right? So that's just science. That just goes to show that it works. That you can bring yourself down. That you have the ability to do that just with breathing for 1 minute. So I definitely recommend doing it daily. I'm a big proponent of meditation as well. Some people have trouble doing meditation to start out with. Let's silent. I love guided meditation. And you can find that. There's obviously all of these apps too that come with that Headspace Calm app. But you can go on YouTube and you can get free access to guided meditations. And you can type in as little, you can put in a 2 minute guided meditation. You can put in a 30 minute one. You can put it in for anxiety. You can put it in for whatever you're looking for and do that. And I personally do that every night. And I really encourage all of my clients, friends, everyone, whenever they come to me, I'm like, did you meditate? You
know? Or you came today.
Yes.
YouTube, right? Even if you're watching this video, you can have access to the internet. YouTube gives you everything of 2 minute meditation, 3 minute meditation. And what I tell my patients too is, can you do it before you go to an event, before you go to your doctor's office, before you go into work, before you go deal with the kids, on the way home maybe too, put it on your phone, listen to it. So it relaxes not only your body, but also your brain.
Yes.
That way your body can handle more stress. It can handle more stress becoming, if you want to start reacting to the stress in a negative way, because now it can handle more load. I think when you do that, you have a routine and you give yourself a few weeks into it, that point becomes your almost to go. I'm going to work right now on the way. I'm going to listen to 2 minutes of meditation. If I get in there, I'm ready to go.
Right.
And that's the key too for some people.
Yes, it is. It's consistency. So again, and it'll get to a place where you actually start to crave it. You eventually you do it enough times and all of a sudden, you know, it'll be like, oh, I didn't meditate today. I need to go do that. Right. And then with our kids, we can do it. My kids do it every night too. There is a, if you have an iPhone on your, where the podcasts are, you type in guided meditation for children. And there are a list of, again, free podcasts that kids can listen to. And they're really relaxing and calm and sweet, you know, stories of the mystical garden and, you know, things like that. And of course it is on YouTube too. I like doing that one because usually they're like a little bit shorter. If the kids fall asleep, then it just kind of turns off on its own.
It's just a visual, basically visual for the look at. Keep them open.
You can look at it, or they'll lay down or, you know, sit cross-legged on the ground and just and listen. And, you know, a lot of times people feel like, well, kids can't sit still that long. You'd be surprised if they're, it's kind of like just being read a story. But it's very meditative.
Do you fall asleep or fall asleep?
I know, right? Yeah, exactly. I have to make sure that I don't.
I would fall asleep. That'd be me all the time.
Yeah. And it's okay if you do. It just means you're relaxed, right?
Well, it is. And anytime we can actually relax and just take a quick nap, I think we can recharge and we can get ourselves set. But going back, talking about going to where you crave it, is that forming a habit over time, or now that habit keeps you healthy?
Right. Exactly. I think that is forming a habit over time, and that eventually these are things that your body, your mind get used to and desire. You know, the other great coping skill, of course, is exercise. We've always touted that. But again, in a time like today, we have to be a bit more creative. People are used to going to studios and gyms, and that can't be done anymore. So, you know, if you can go for, you know, maybe a brisk walk, running, if you're able to, if you have access to a pool, swimming, YouTube, the internet, this is where the good things come up. You can get free workout videos. You can get, you know, yoga online. So there's a lot of, some studios, because they are closed, are offering Zoom classes. I've even heard of some offering some complimentary classes that way. So exercise is also vital, because if we're living in this heightened state of arousal, you need to get all that. I call it like wringing out the sponge, right? So if your body is filled with adrenaline, then you have to get that out somehow. That's where people feel that trembling sensation when they feel anxious. It's because of that adrenaline like coursing through your blood. Your brain is acting like you need to be running from a lion right now, when really you just listened to some information that felt scary, right?
So when we feel scary, we want to almost close off and not do anything. That is almost the fight or flight, is where we actually, the anxiety makes you go, okay, I don't want to do anything, because it only can cause more pain.
Right.
You have to almost break through that to be okay by doing a movement, by doing an exercise, by relaxing my, that'll help relax my body to not get that anxious, and sometimes even further on stress states, where then it's hard to get out of that at that point.
Yes, it is. It does take, like, it'll take a like so much. It'll feel like so much work to do that first initial step, but then once you get going, it does feel better, because yeah, you're right. It can feel like a humongous chore to do when you're in the midst of a panic attack, or in the midst of feeling like, I can't do anything right now.
I think a lot of it is you have to understand your body too. And when you understand that I have to feel uncomfortable to cause a change, to get better physical and mental state of health, I have to do the work myself. And I have to understand what that's going to be, you know?
Right.
And we talked about too before the yesterday show too, is how do we now this is July, getting into August, September, where I can turn back to school. You do have a lot of parents, a lot of kids. A long time. What is a good way to help parents understand, okay, how do I adapt to this? And I don't know what's going to happen yet, to where if kids go back to school, they'll go back to school. How do I set my mindset ready for that? What do I do?
Yes, I know this is a hard one. it's a tough one. And I feel for people in all situations at the moment, because there is there's not a great answer. You know, there isn't anything. But what I will say is that we have to live in the now and in the moment. If you're in California, 80% of kids are not going back to school this fall. That just is what's happening. I often tell people pain is in the resistance. The more that we resist that, the more difficult it's going to be for us to transition and acclimate. I am not saying that there isn't grief involved with that. I'm not saying that it's not a financial hardship. I'm not saying that it doesn't feel impossible for some people. I totally get that. And I think that I can say, if you need to grieve that, if you need to be upset, 100%, take the time, be upset. But then, just like we talked about that pulling yourself out, we have to find a way to try and do what we need to do. Otherwise, we will continue to live in pain, right? Emotional pain and mental pain. So, and I think it's good modeling for our kids too. I know that many kids are also suffering. My son is absolutely was devastated to hear that he's not going back to school because he's really missing his friends. That's their social outlet, right? And most likely, I mean, I know there hasn't been anything said, but most likely there won't be organized sports as well. So all of these things that were kids' outlets are no longer, and we can, you know, debate whether that is a better choice or not or what have you. But again, the issue is that that's just our reality.
Yeah.
That's reality. So what can we do with our reality? Is we have to get creative. We have to find other ways for our kids to have outlets. We can take this opportunity to have more family time. You know, you can, you know, where kids may have been spending more time with friends, which is a great source of socialization for them. But if they don't have that right now, you know, we as parents and adults, and I get it, I think parents have a lot on their plate. But again, if you can carve out, it's always quality over quantity. If you can carve out 30 minutes to play a board game, to read with your child, to, you know, if there's anything you can do, go for a walk. We're again modeling for them, and we're helping them through this. And I think that's what our job is as parents, is to, you know, keep our kids safe, but that means also, you know, mentally safe too. So we have to check in with them, see how they're feeling. A lot of kids, again, my son's a 12-year-old boy. He's not really open with, you know, saying like, "Hey, mom," whereas my daughter's like, "Well, just tell me how she feels," you know. So you have to get, again, a little creative in that too. And if you find that your child is really struggling, of course, I would suggest, you know, seeing if you can have the child speak with a therapist. There are, I think most of us have gone online. We're all doing virtual sessions now. And there's some, you know, I have one particular art therapist, and she also specializes in play therapy, and she's gotten so creative with how she can interact with kids on Zoom. It's not ideal, but it's better than not having any support. And then she also provides, you know, that parent support, you know, gives them ideas, guidance.
Well, the parent support, you said too, a lot of it, when we're stressed, and our kids see that, get stressed also.
Absolutely.
So even the therapy you're talking about, even with the child therapy, play therapy, is the idea for parents also that are unsure what to do or kind of in that lost space to go, "Hey, look, I want to see someone so I know how to help my kids or just help my child through this maybe 10, 12, 4, 15, 20, whatever it might be."
Mm-hmm. It's definitely helpful, I think, to reach out and, you know, to seek some additional support. Parents, because parents are overwhelmed, they also can be stuck in that, I don't know what to do, right? I don't know how to help, right? And so, you know, reach out and get some ideas from somebody who is non-biased outside of, you know, your family unit, who can look at things objectively and give some suggestions.
And I think we're going that route too. We're talking about, we have no idea what can happen. So again, just the kind of, in my perspective, what you're saying is, how do we adapt what's going on now and focus on what's now? Because again, kids most likely will not go back to school. So how do we get ready for that? How do we make sure that they're ready for that? We're all thrown in the bucket in March 15th.
Right.
Okay, we have to do this now.
Right.
Now we have time to prepare. How to prepare ourselves to be our kids' best teacher, to be our kids' best, I guess, holding ground sometimes to even coach if need be, best mentor, so they get ready for maybe 3-6 months of being now home again and now we're not thrown off guard? How do we make sure before that day one comes, going back to school, we're ready to be prepared so we're not stressed as much, but our kids are not stressed as much either?
Right. I believe in being age appropriately truthful with children. Sure. So if we don't give kids information, they will make their own stories up, right? And they'll fill in the blanks. And then typically, it's not the right information, right? So I think that we need to be honest with our children and let them know that this is what's happening for the fall. We don't have an end date. As soon as we know that anything changes, we'll let them know. I think ensuring kids are safe, telling them that, you know, this is the decision that has been made, you know, again, whether you agree with it or not, again, this is what is. So we have to communicate to kids, just really matter factly, I think. And again, age appropriately truthful. So if we're over here fretting and woeing about it out loud in front of them, that's going to become their perspective too. So that they take all of their, you know, their hints from us. So if we just say, you know, and if they're upset about it, and you validate that feeling and you empathize with them. I get it. This does suck. This is sad. And I'm sorry for you that you have to go through this. Let them, you know, lament in it for a little bit too. And then again, model and teach them how to, okay, so what are we going to do? Maybe it's like setting up a little school space, you know, you get their supplies, put it in this specific area. It's great to have a workspace anyway. Teaching them how to focus, and then maybe also discuss with them ways that they can still remain in touch with friends, whether, again, not ideal, I get it that you miss them, but, you know, is there a way? I know that you and I have talked about this, Dr. Tony, about video gaming, how that, you know, has an effect on kids' brains too, but I get it that a lot of times right now, that is a way that kids can communicate with each other because they're playing online together. So, you know, maybe we need to lax a little bit on some parameters there with, you know, but of course, still keeping it. We don't want to let them be online all day. They still need to get exercise. So if, you know, playing basketball outside, if that means it might mean that we have to play, you know, or with their
siblings. I can take most kids out on playing basketball. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But going back to you're talking about how do we set a routine for our kids going in the fall, and how do we make sure these hours are study hours? This is going to be our play time. This will be our friends' time. And that we have these routines where Monday through Friday, we're still in a routine. So I think for most people, makes them feel comfortable, makes them feel safe, feel less than.
Yeah, kids like to know what to expect. So I think that that's great to set up a schedule. I think that we have to, because of the world that we're living in right now, maybe not too rigid, maybe a little flexibility in there, right? But again, kind of having a schedule that, and you know, if it means getting a whiteboard, writing things down, you know, having them write it if they're old enough, you know, having them make their own schedule, like get them involved in it so that they feel like they have some sense of control over how they set up their day. Maybe this is a good time for them to explore that. Yeah, what's that? And, you know, some kids are like, well, I always had English, you know, first thing in the morning, but I didn't really like that. I'd rather get my mouth out of the way because it's faster for me, you know, whatever it is. Let them set up how they're gonna work it out if you have that ability to. And these are small things, but it makes them feel like they have a sense of control. Obviously, working in breaks, lunches, you know, playtime, like you said, friends time is important. And then keeping them on somewhat of a sleep schedule, because sleep is super important for kids. You know, their brains are always growing.
How many parents tell me that they're staying up to 1-2 in the morning playing games, they sleep till 12.
Right.
And then they understand that, well, by doing that, then you're setting yourself up to work. Now you have to spend 1 till 6 o'clock at night doing homework or doing work or doing exercise.
Yes.
Versus when parents are more like, I'm already exhausted by 5 o'clock. I'm done.
Right.
So again, every kid's different, every parent's different, but can we communicate with our kids of what's the best for you, what's the best for us as a family? Mm-hmm. So overall, we want
again, modeling for kids and letting them know, you know, oftentimes I go to bed the same time they do, because you're right, we're exhausted. So letting them know, again, I often will say, you know, the words like, this isn't something I'm doing to be mean. I'm doing this because I know better.
I've been there before.
Right. And I have this information and, you know, I can't knowingly do something or allow something that I know is a detriment to you. That would really make me a stellar mom, would it?
You know, or whatever it might be. Yeah, exactly. And going from the kids' perspective, because I know you do a lot of kids too, what are good things for kids to start doing for their mindsets to get them again to adapt to this new normal?
Yeah, I think, again, the meditation for kids is really strong. I think educating children about food intake, what is good for them to nourish their body so that, you know, again, if they're eating, you know, hot Cheetos and drinking a Monster, that's probably not going to make them feel really good. So again, giving kids this information so that, and then helping them make that choice when it comes time. So, you know, if it is their own, if they are making their own lunches, you know, that maybe they make a little menu for themselves or something, but that they are taking the initiative, you know, that's what we want to do. We want to instill them to be able to make these choices on their own eventually. So we're guiding, and loosening up as they get older so that they can start to make those decisions. So again, I think it's a lot of communication. There you are.
Perspective. The kid's perspective is giving him enough rope a little bit to learn. And let him know, okay, when they go, mom, dad, I didn't sleep well last night, walked through their night, and at 3 a.m, ate Cheetos, drank Monsters, and they ask you why, that's our job as parents to step in and go, this is probably why. And then they let them kind of journey a little bit and go, okay, maybe I should change my behavior. And
sure.
You know, sounds good. You know, it's enough room to grow by learning sometimes by their mistakes. So understand that, what can I do? And they want to understand what it might be.
Right. And then you can remind them, you know, it's like, remember what happened last time we did that?
Yeah.
You sure you want to do that again?
I don't know what happened. And a lot of this, as we're getting through this, is we're communicating with our kids more of what we should be doing. Again, modeling too, allows them and us to see how we can get through this together. And I think that's the big thing is how do we get through this together? It may not make it better tomorrow, but it may not get better for 6 months. How do we make sure we're ready now, what's going on right now, so we understand how do we stay healthy and safe at the same time?
Right. And that's an excellent point, because just as I talked about earlier about the collective trauma and the simultaneous trauma that we're doing with as clinicians with our patients, we're, again, as parents with our kids, we're going through it while they're going through it. So, and I think also it's important for parents to just to give themselves grace, you know, and understand that they're not always going to make the perfect, there's no such thing as the perfect decision, right? Or or say the most perfect thing, but that we just be open to learning. I think that as someone who is a lifelong learner, I tout that too. Like, we have to just be open to learning, getting new ideas. You know, if you are a parent, maybe there's some other parents in your community that you guys can, that you feel connected to, that you can kind of discuss different strategies. I get lots of ideas, from friends who have done things. I'm like, that's a great idea. I'm going to try that, you know?
Good. So, and I think people that are in the same mindset of how do we help our kids, how do we help ourselves stay healthy, versus sometimes there's people out there that are willing to grab you and are sometimes already anxious, ready, depressed, or out of control, but they want to tell you how they're doing, so they kind of suck you into their world.
Yes, boundaries. You need to have
boundaries. Okay, that person may not be healthy for me right now. I'll take them in small doses, not spend an hour on the phone, not spend a 20 minutes on their Facebook or email the whole time, and letting them communicate with me. Look, right now is not a good time. When we're in a better mindset, let's get back on track and stuff.
Sure. Or, you know, I think saying something like, you can be empathetic with that person and say, I can totally understand where you're coming from. I'm in it too. So I'm probably not going to be much help. You know, I'm going to go try to deal with that, and I can come back and chat with you later. You know, it can be a kind way of setting up boundaries for yourself, but that is very important. That's one thing, you know, again, if we're going to look at any silver linings of what's happening, quarantine in particular, I think caused everyone to really slow down, obviously. I heard it referred to as the Great Pause, and I love that statement because it did, I think, make many of us reflect on what's important and not. And so that also means who we spend our time with. I mean, we can't get time back, right? Like I always say, you can make more money, you can eat more food, you can, but you can never get more time. So we have time is precious, and so we need to decide who we're going to spend our time with. And even in this particular predicament that we're in, if you're on the phone or emailing or chatting or on Zoom, whatever it is, that you're doing it with people that you feel are able to, you guys can kind of hold each other up.
Exactly. And I think a lot of you talked about before too is how do you balance your time with other people, but also make sure your own physical health is where it should be. And spending time enough with whatever it might be, make sure that's on point so you're going to go help someone, your kids, or somebody else, you're in the right mindset.
Right. Yes. And I think that if we are, if you do have children, in this, and in particular, I mean, always, but again, this particular time is very stressful, that's going to have to be our priority. Of course, of course there's job demands and all of these things, but in terms of the people that deserve us to be at our best is our little people.
Yes. Yes. They need to, if you want to call it the dependence, we got to feed them, we got to house them, we got to take care of their mental health.
That's right. Yes. Exactly. And their physical health, that we as parents have to look at that, because one thing I have also decided that is without physical health, there is no mental health, right? If anybody out there has ever had a really just difficult, challenging physical health issue, that if your physical health goes, then there's nothing else that matters in that moment. So we have to, preserve both. And obviously by taking the steps that we can to preserve our physical health, that means also taking steps with our mental health for the kids, because it can be a really confusing time for them.
For everybody.
And for us.
Yeah. And for this show, I think we talked a lot about stuff, probably a lot of what we can talk about. A lot of it is how do we make sure we ourselves as just people in general can stay healthy mentally and physically. You had mentioned having that balance, and also to take care of our kids and people around us so they stay healthy too.
I'm sorry, what was that last? You said, how do we do that?
And basically, I want to make sure that we cover everything we want to talk about with both kids, with parents, with our own mental and physical health also. Anything else you want to cover today?
Yeah. Anything else? Let's see. I think there's one thing that I thought of earlier that I'd like to stress, which is that oftentimes, when we were talking about how it can feel so difficult sometimes to, there's this author, her name's Mel Robbins. She writes about why do we not do things that we know are good for us? And after like reading her, and obviously in my experience of 20 years in mental health, I've just basically decided that our brain lies to us. So when it wants to be comfortable, and oftentimes it will tell you that laying in bed, not socializing with anybody in your family, that not getting up and eating proper foods and not taking care of yourself is safer. Then doing those other things, right? And that's the anxiety and depression. That's telling the lies in that moment. And so that's where we have to take the coping skills that we've learned. And so whether, maybe it's keeping a notebook by your bed or a little journal or something where you write down things that have helped you before. And when you feel like that, you got to go to that list and then you got to act on it, right? And so one of the things that she puts out is doing 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 and then just acting on it. Because if we give ourselves any time, we will hesitate, and hesitation is not our friend, because as soon as we hesitate, then the brain will convince you that staying in bed is better than getting up and doing yoga, right? Or getting up and going and eating breakfast, whatever it might be. It'll lie to you and it'll convince you. Because it's kind of running amok. So this is, you might have heard of that term, like cognitive behavioral therapy. So we have to control our thoughts, or our thoughts will control us.
Yes. And I think a lot of it is when we want to do something where it feels too comfortable, we have to feel uncomfortable to stay healthy.
Yes.
And we have to find, like you said, those things that we have, the list of things we want to do every day, and make sure we get through that list. Even if we don't like it, even if my kids don't like it, even if my dog doesn't like it, because it's going to keep us healthy at the day or tomorrow.
Right. That's right. You have to be active in your health, mental and physical. So you have to stay, again, mindful of what you're doing and why you're doing it. And even though we don't like it, that again, eventually, if you do it long enough, it will not become a chore anymore. It will just become your way of life, just like brushing my teeth. I mean, I don't even really think about that. I just do it every day, morning and night, right? And so eventually I will just do, you know, whether it be going for a run in the morning or spending some time in meditation or prayer or whatever it is that fills you up that you need to get your day started, you'll find it. And it might take a little bit. Like you could do that. You could do a workout in the morning and be like, I don't know if I want to do that. You know, then you try the meditation and prayer maybe in the morning or sitting outside on your deck with a cup of coffee and just listening to nature for a little bit, whatever it might be. And then you're like, okay, that makes me feel like I can get my day started, right? So find your thing and then practice it. Keep practicing it, keep at it, just like anything, just like, you know, sport, right? I'm not gonna just go out and become whatever that might be, an Olympic swimmer or whatever. That person had to practice and practice and practice. So in order for you to be good at what makes your brain healthy, you have to practice it.
What I love is you have to find, like you're saying, start what you like to do, at that point from there, Do it consciously, uncomfortably, until it becomes unconscious.
Perfect. That's exactly it.
3, 4, 5 weeks, may take you 6 weeks. Once you get there, when you miss it that day, like, dang, I missed it, then you know it's part of your routine.
That's right.
You want to get it there, at that point, feel comfortable doing that habit, mentally, physically.
Yeah, that's right. And if you fall off of the wagon, then, you know, instead of staying in that like place, don't be, you know, you could, oh no, I did it. See, I did it again. Non-productive language, right? So just, okay, then I'm going to start over. You can always start over. That's okay.
Right now, people are staying home, so every day is a Saturday.
Just start exactly.
Tomorrow. That's right.
Exactly. You know,
every weekend over again.
That's exactly right.
Good. Anything else for your third show? I think a lot of what we talked about is getting people physically, mentally healthy, finding a routine that works for you, finding what you like the ball, until it becomes your subconscious and comfortable habit every day. Every week per se. For you and for your kids, making sure that those people out there that are trying to suck you into their negative energy or anxiety, depression, or the emotional response to the high and lows, you kind of give yourself that balance.
Right. That's good. A great summary of what we discussed.
I try to keep
my things to be helpful.
Lose it. That's where I wrote everything down. So we're going to be good to go.
Good.
Rima, thank you for being in the show. Overall, again, in the show, I'm going to have all the ways to connect with her, her practice, her team of therapists, interns, and social workers to keep yourself healthy, your kids healthy, learn how you can communicate better. You're here with your kids and people around you. All right, Rima, thank you for all your time. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Dr. Tony. Take care. Well, bye.
Hope the show today helped you understand there are things you can learn that Rima went over to help you understand how to get healthy and stay healthy, both body and mind, during this pandemic. Maybe a few months, maybe even longer than that too. So we just have to be ready, my friends. At that point, we can hopefully enjoy a different normal until this thing is completely over. Keep ourselves healthy and happy. All right, so again, the show notes has highlights of the actual talks Nirina and I talked about, along with highlights of the actual video of this podcast, along with previous podcasts too. Hope you enjoy the week, my friends, and I'll see you next week.